7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcoming. I was listening to you, Rachel, and you've used defect of character. And I remember someone telling me a story that Bill was asked, what's the difference between defect of character and shortcoming? And the answer was, oh, well, my English teacher taught me, don't use the same word. You can change them that way. But yeah, they're, you know. So as I was listening to you, I'm like, yeah, it's still the same thing. So I came into the room 3 years, 2 months, and 20 days ago, my very first meeting. I didn't have a chance of face to face. It was all on the screen, and I've been on the screen since then. But I am so grateful for the screen, because if it wasn't for them, maybe I wouldn't have found the rooms. And what took me to the room was, yeah, the pandemic has just hit, and everything was changing. And someone was asking, okay, change, what are we gonna change? And that word hit me like a train, change. Because for years prior to that, I knew what I was doing with food was not right, and I needed to change, but I did not know how to. I had no idea. I have tried, believe you me, I have tried all sorts. And that's when someone told me, oh, there's a meeting tomorrow on, you know, do you want to try this? And yeah, I can tell you now that he has said yes in the hotel. Maybe another diet, something different. Let's see how this one goes. That's why I came, why I'm here today. Is the only thing in my life that has made any change. And more importantly, that has actually kept me going. And you know, the change is there and is staying. And I'm very grateful for that. So humbly ask him to take, to remove our shortcoming. My approach to step 7 is ongoing. I'm still, you know, every single day, I'm naming those shortcomings and asking him to take them away, because they are not going away. They are not going away. Why I'm asking him, and I think the key for me, it took me a while to understand, it's not just about asking. I ask, but what am I doing about them? Do I just ask and cross my legs and think, that's it, I've asked? No, I need to challenge myself when I am in those shortcomings. And it's an everyday kind of work, every single day. I can easily, what comes naturally is those shortcomings, because for a time in my life, they've served me. They've saved me, they've protected me. So to part of them is not coming easily. So for the key for me to keep going is finding that compassion in the middle there. To, you know, to stop beating myself up because they are not going away. Because, oh, I've just told a little lie again. That compassion allows me to go back to then rectify that lie. That compassion allows me to think, okay, I'm only human. And yeah, lies have kept me safe. Lies has avoided me a backhand, because I didn't tell the truth in that moment. They literally saved me. So yeah, I'm finding hard to get rid of them, but I am working on it. Not just step 10, but working the steps, the longer I stay in the room, has been the key to my physical, emotional, and spiritual change in this world. The steps, I think it says it in the big book, they are designed for living. Like, I did not know how to do life. I didn't know whether I was coming or going when it comes to life. I was just, I guess, surviving somehow, going through this thing called life, trying to just, you know, get to the next thing without. But the steps have really, really given me a, yeah, blueprint. I think that's also said in the big book. A spiritual principle of self-serving is humility. And I read somewhere, humility is different from humiliation. And I have known my fair bit of humiliation. So, yeah, I kind of, those lines can be blurred in my head, you know. So it's, I'm learning to clear that. I'm learning to know what it means to be humble. And again, it's a work in progress. It's not, I can't sit here and say I'm humble. I've cracked it, you know. And humility also can go so many directions. What is my real intention here? Is it just to claim that I was humble? I need to think of that. I really need to think of that. To get there, I have had to really start to some daily routines when it comes to my recovery. It's like I don't negotiate them. I don't allow anything to talk me out of them. They just need to happen every single day. And my first thing in the before I get out of bed is to just start saying my prayers. I still stay in bed and read some prayers, say some directly to my higher power, but that's the first thing I do. And it took me a while to get into that habit, to understand that I literally need to do that. Otherwise, my disease makes me forget how bad it was, how low I've been in this disease. And that conscious contact first day with my higher power has been crucial and non-negotiable. I get out of my bed and the team you said before, Sarah, was learning to love myself, to love others. And I literally have to learn that, and I'm still learning. And one of the ways I learn is by affirming myself. Because throughout the years, I've beaten myself up so much that there's no love. So getting up in the morning, standing in front of the mirror, looking myself straight in the eye and go, Gisele, I love you. I love you just as you are right now, because I can project, I can see myself skinny and six-pack, and that's when I'm gonna be loved. But I need to remind myself I am lovable right here, right now, as I am. And when I got into recovery, I went on a weekend workshop, and at the end of the weekend we were asked to do that exercise for 2 weeks, and that was about 3 years ago. And every single day I get up and say, Gisele, I love you, Gisele, I forgive you, and well done, Gisele. And that is teaching me day in, day out, to love myself, to love me, to know that I am enough. And it's only when I can do that around myself, for myself, that it can radiate out and go out there. And it's certainly work in progress, again. And this, for me, this is the beauty of, that's why I think this is just a gift beyond. I don't get to finish this. I don't get to be done with this. As long as I want it, I've got it. And thank you. And the chance for me to keep growing, to keep loving, to keep healing, to keep, you know, to be on that track, to become who my higher power has always intended me to be. Because up until recovery, I just was not. I just was not. I didn't know how to. And I'm learning to grieve that. Every now and then I'll have a good cry because I've realized, oh God, how did I miss that part of life? What I have. And it's the ability to know, well, grieving for me, I'm finding is the passage to healing. Once I've had that good cry, because I've just realized I've lied all my life just to, for whatever reason. Why? And I couldn't stop that. And now to be in a place where I can make a choice and say, no, this doesn't feel comfortable, but I'm still gonna show up authentically and truthfully and just go with it. And it's not the easiest thing to do, but I am doing it and it's making me a better person day in, day out. I go to meeting every single day and I've done for the best part of 3 years, 2 months. And it has been a cornerstone of my recovery, of keeping me in the rooms, of giving me what I need to hear every single day to just get me through that day the right way. And it came and has changed a lot in my life. I did not think that's what I was coming for. I thought, let's lose a bit of weight, let's six pack, let's see if we can find a man and all of that. But I kid you not, what is keeping me here is that taste of serenity, is that taste of peace, of actually being able to just do life as I've never known it. And that I don't want to lose. That's why I keep coming back. Thank you. And,
did you finish? Yeah. Thank you so much.